Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You ready? You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom.
Welcome to the
Red.
Figuring about 1 hour from now.
Yeah.
War toast.
I would call it toast because toast would actually be a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crickets.
If you missed it over the weekend, you know last... And we don't do politics, but this is funny. Last Thursday, the two presidential candidates... By the way, Election Day is 2 weeks from tomorrow. If you're not ready, my mail-in ballot is on its way. Filled it out over the weekend, put it in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Mm.
So did we.
Wait, whoa.
Yes, we did.
Whoa. I thought you were not going to do that.
I was
because
not.
You said it was the worst way ever, and it was filled with a million ways. Oh, my word.
Fraud.
I don't know. Filled with fraud, like people stealing or putting up fake ballot box receptacles in California, like that kind of fraud. So Chris says to me, fill out your ballot.
Yep.
I will physically walk it over. He drove to Olathe. It's the only way I agreed to do it. He drove
to the election office.
Both ballots to the election office, which I guess is open 24 hours right now, to hand deliver the ballots. Mm. And I said to him right before he walked out the door, because you know he's an agreeable kind of guy and I'm not, I said to him, do you want me to write on the outside of our ballots, do not throw these out, you cheating, lying blankers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Chris said, I don't think we should write that on the ballots.
I think that would be a better
and
idea.
He got in his car and he drove them to Olathe.
Hmm. I put mine in the mailbox and it was gone. So anyway, Saturday Night Live did a little take on the dueling town halls that Trump and Biden did on Thursday night. Here it is.
Good evening, America. I am surprise badass Savannah Guthrie. And if you were angry at NBC for doing this town hall, just let me get a few questions in and I think you'll thank me. Joining me tonight is President Donald Trump.
Thank you, Serengeti. It's great to be here. Even though, woman.
We have lots of voters waiting to ask questions, but I'd like to start by tearing you a new one. Now, why won't you condemn white supremacy?
I do condemn it. I've always more or less condemned it.
Okay. What about QAnon?
You mean the group that thinks Democrats are a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles and that I'm their messiah? I don't know anything about them at all. No.
Yes, you do, Mr. President.
All I do know is that they're against pedophilia, and I agree with that. If anyone's against pedophiles, it's me, the man who was close personal friends with one of the most famous pedophiles on earth. Rest in power, Jeffrey.
what about the Aryan Brotherhood?
They're very pro-family, that's all I know.
KKK?
Your car breaks down, you call Triple K.
Okay, Mr. President, just last week you tweeted that Osama bin Laden is still alive.
I didn't tweet it. It was a retweet, which is short for a really smart tweet.
Okay, but you can't just do things like that. You're not just someone's crazy uncle.
Really?
You know?
Because this conversation we're having right now is a preview of Thanksgiving dinner in a lot of American households, so crazy
now,
uncles.
Now, before everybody gets all crazy and starts thinking this is SNL and all they were doing was making fun of Trump, they made fun of Joe Biden, too.
Little Mickey Mouse. Does that answer your question? If you want to find me after the town hall, we can talk some more.
Some more?
So just to be clear, when was the last time you tested negative?
There are so many tests.
They just went on and on. It was so good.
I'm getting to the age where it's getting difficult to stay awake for Saturday Night Live. I'm that old, Scott. I'm not quite AARP old, but I'm let's tape Saturday Night Live and watch the highlights tomorrow old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
Hang on. Here's one more with Joe Biden.
To do something. You can make a difference. Well, you can save this country.
Joe, who are you talking to?
I'm talking to God, George. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you're the team we love the most.
Anyway, so.
He got out of his car, and he's, like, old. He's, like, I don't know, older than you, Scott.
Okay. All right. Story here from the Kansas City Star. A Kansas woman scheduled to die by lethal injection December 8th. Would be the first woman executed by the federal government in 67 years. Federal officials announcing late Friday the execution date for Lisa Montgomery.
Yep.
52 years old, who was convicted in 2007 of killing a pregnant woman in Northwest Missouri, cutting her open and kidnapping her unborn baby. Montgomery, who was from Malvern, Kansas, is the only woman among the 55 prisoners on federal death row. In 2004, she strangled Bobby Jo Stinnett, 23, of Skidmore, Missouri, cut her unborn baby from her womb. Montgomery returned home and tried to pass the girl off as her own. Thankfully, the child survived and is now 16. Montgomery, who was 36 at the time, later confessed to the killing and abduction.
Well, they found her with the baby. That was hard to explain.
The federal government last executed a woman in December of 1953. Bonnie Heddy was put to death for the kidnapping and killing of a 6-year-old Kansas City boy. Huh.
There are several things about this case that I wish I could forget, but I cannot. I covered this trial. I was there when they first brought her in shackles and she sat at the defense table. I will never forget as long as I live. She had stringy, greasy hair and tiny hands. And I sat there thinking, I cannot stop looking at her hands. That those hands took a knife to that poor woman, that poor expectant mother.
They met over a dog.
Who woke up, Scott, after she was strangled during the cutting of that baby from the womb.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They did, in fact, meet during an online ruse that Lisa Montgomery said, I'm interested in buying one of your terriers. They raised these dogs in Malvern. She set an appointment to come look at a dog, and she didn't leave with the dog. She left with Bobby Jo Stinnett's baby. And then she randomly showed up back home with a baby that did not belong to her and passed that baby off as her own, despite the fact she was not able to have children of her own. Now, how her family ever went along with that, even for 3 or 4 days, I still don't understand. That is one of the cases, Scott, that in part changed the way we do the Amber Alert system. There was no Amber Alert called in the immediate aftermath of the horrifying scene in Bobby Joe's home, because you remember the authorities said we need a description of the baby and it's a newborn. We don't have a description. And so do you remember there was some delay in getting the word out that this baby had been physically removed from this woman?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will never forget is that Bobby Joe's mother, the grandmother to this baby, was the one that found her daughter. And I know that they say that Lisa Montgomery suffers from some sort of mental illness. I don't know whether that's true or not. This was far and away premeditated, down to the Googling of how do I do a crude cesarean section. And I am sorry, I will lose no sleep that this is happening. It is one of the most gruesome, horrifying murders I have ever covered, and it's one that I almost wish I had not, because I can't get those details out of my head.
576-7798, 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. Which one do you want to go to?
We're just talking about the upcoming execution of Lisa Montgomery. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, that name sounds familiar, it does, for the worst possible reasons. Couple of things. Executions of women are rare. Since the 1600s, there have only been 575 documented executions of women of the more than 15,000 confirmed executions in the United States. And it appears Lisa Montgomery, for the murder of Bobby Joe Stinnett and the cutting out of the unborn child from that poor woman's belly, it appears Lisa Montgomery is scheduled to be among them.
December 8th. Let's go to Cindy in Odessa. Cindy, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
My daughter served on that jury.
Ugh.
She turned 21 during the trial.
At that young age, she served on that jury.
Yes, ma'am. I was not a bit happy about it. I did not want her to. I even told her that I would write the judge a letter that said her mommy said she can't serve on this jury.
Because of the violent nature of the crime, Cindy?
Yes, that, and it was a death penalty case.
So how has that weighed on her, or at the time, how did that weigh on her?
Well, she come home crying almost every day. Mm. It's still... And probably about, 6 years later, she called me and said that she had set out a package of hamburger earlier that morning to thaw out when she came home and went to get that hamburger. She said all of a sudden, all those pictures just came back to her. She couldn't touch that hamburger.
I would think you would have PTSD because, and I don't remember, Cindy, I'm assuming... that the evidence in that case, without being graphic, was shown to those jurors. And I don't know how you would ever get that out of your mind, or the 911 call, by the way, that I cannot get out of my head when Bobby Joe's mom found her daughter's body and thought that her stomach had, quote, exploded. She didn't know what had happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was graphic.
After that 911 call was played, the judge had to call a recess because my daughter couldn't stop crying.
Does she have any feelings about the upcoming execution? I mean, she obviously sat in judgment of another human being. That would be hard for anyone. Just even if you're one of those people that say, flip the switch. It's different when you're actually sitting in that jury box.
I think, honestly, she was a little surprised because it seems it's been 13 years. And usually, I mean, that seems like a short period of time because a lot of times people on death row serve many more years than that before they're executed. But
is she okay with it?
Yes. Yeah, she is. She's come to terms with it because, I mean, it was just so horrific. And, you know, I didn't think she was old enough to serve on the jury. I don't think someone that young has enough life experience to make that kind of a decision. You know, a life or death decision.
It's a great point, Cindy. It's honestly, I think people like to say, well, I could do it. I'd sit on that jury. But I've spoken to people who have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And until you are the one voting and deciding, I think it's real easy to say that you could do something like that. At the time, The Sun, by the way, in the UK picked up this story today. The local sheriff described it as the most gruesome crime he had ever seen.
Mm. Sam, Lisa, you guys hang tight. You guys are next. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those.
Happy birthday goes out today to good friend of the show, Amy Anderson.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Lisa Montgomery, and if that name sounds familiar, it should. She's 52 years old. She was convicted in 2007 of killing a pregnant woman in Northwest Missouri, cutting her open, kidnapping her unborn baby. The child did survive, thank God. Lisa Montgomery is now scheduled to die by lethal injection on December 8th. She will be the first woman executed by the federal government in 67 years.
You know, Scott and I, over a combined almost, 55 years, yeah, in journalism, Scott, mm-hmm, between the two of us, we have a lot of clutter in our brains over some of these cases because there was more than one baby snatch case. There was one where they snatched it out of the hospital in Topeka. There was a baby snatched out of a playpen while mom was on the treadmill. And then there was this gruesome case. And during the break, I looked at Scott and I go, was this the case where she took the baby right after she, quote, delivered it to Long John Silver's? And Scott goes, that rings a bell. So we looked it up because you might be wondering how in God's name would her husband have believed that this woman who stole the baby was ever pregnant. She went online and printed off fake sonogram photos. She had a history of lying about pregnancies. And sure enough, hours after the crime, Lisa Montgomery invited her children to the parking lot of a Long John Silver's in Topeka, I believe, Scott, if memory serves, and handed them over a newborn she introduced as their baby sister. The kids said they didn't realize anything was wrong. It was very hard to believe at the time, Scott, that that husband could be so naive,
right,
that he didn't know this, but authorities said there was no indication he was in on this or knew, and that the wife showing up at this Long John Silver's with a baby just seemed normal.
Let's go to Lisa in Lathrop, Missouri. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Lisa.
We're doing well, thanks.
My husband was on the grand jury that indicted her at the time. Of course, he couldn't really tell me anything at the time. I just remember him coming home and just being just quiet, and he just couldn't even talk about it. And he's out of town right now, and I called him and let him know that the execution date had been set. And his first words were, I would love to be one of the people in that room.
Wow. Wow.
he has to this day said it was the most horrifying thing he had ever seen or experienced.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Lisa, about him coming home and being quiet, because you are told when you are on one of those juries that you cannot talk with anyone. You cannot watch the coverage on the news. You cannot talk to your spouse. And my mother was on a jury many years ago, and it was a sex abuse case. And she would come home and go into the bathroom and get into the bathtub, you know, and just sob. And one of the things she said to me was, I've never had something so awful that you go through and you are alone, that I've always been able to talk to your dad and talk things out when something bad is happening. And she, true to the judge's directive, kept it in until it was over. And I can imagine for your husband that was as difficult as it was for my mom.
Yeah, it was very difficult. I mean, he could tell me how, you know, how the grand jury worked and how evidence was presented, and I don't even know if all the evidence that he saw was even presented at the actual trial, but he did not tell me anything at all. But I just know his mental state at that time, it was horrific for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine. And again, people say all the time they want to be on these juries, and I really think you don't. You say you do, and no. And you don't.
No.
The baby, by the way, is fine.
Yeah, 16 years old now.
Went home with dad, I think, 2 days later after she was checked out at the hospital because she was early. She came into this world early. And sadly, as pointed out by federal prosecutor Matt Whitworth at the time, every time Victoria has a birthday, it will also be the anniversary of the slaughter of her mother every year for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Well, I will not lose any sleep over Lisa Montgomery being executed. Because I follow the Dana and Parks model. If we know,
you go.
That's right.
At what age would you tell someone that that is their story? We've seen this with other cases, certainly with the John Robinson case and the infant that was stolen from her mother, whose body's never been found. At what age do you tell someone how they came into this world? There's no getting around it. The media attention reached all over the globe with this story. 14, 12?
Probably 12, yeah. You have to tell her. She has a right to know. And if you don't tell her, word's going to get around town. And so, you know, the other kids are going to know. And
you know, short of changing your name and moving away, you are correct. And these were smaller communities, Scott, where everybody knows everybody. And I will say this, they did a great job right from the beginning of just hunkering down and protecting that baby and sure. loving that baby. They didn't do interviews. They just focused completely. And I don't even know when something like that happens, Scott, the baby, I think, came home the day of either the wake or the funeral for that woman. And so you have to get up. You've got to get up in the morning and right. feed the baby and well, be there for the baby, despite the fact that you've lost your wife.
And word gets around quickly. I mean,
oh, everybody knew who this was.
And I won't say where this woman lives, but the one woman who survived the Carr brothers' murder rampage in Wichita.
Yes.
Moved into the neighborhood, I won't say what street, of course, moved into the neighborhood where Shonda recently lived, or sure. where she lived, and everybody knew it. This was the woman
yeah.
who had the, what is it called, a broche? Is that what women wear in their
it was
hair?
It was a barrette that barrette, saved
barrette.
Her life.
Thank you. Thank yes. you. Barrette. She was the woman who had the barrette that deflected the bullet, and she moved into Shonda's neighborhood. And everybody knew it. How?
Because you wouldn't want that to be the one thing that defines your life. But for the everybody else looking on the outside in, like, how's she doing? That's mm-hmm. the girl who, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have seen many things written about stopping the execution. And I not because Lisa Montgomery is a woman, but because there's an argument that she had mental health issues.
See, and I hate
and
that.
I know, because you would say, Scott, anyone who does anything like that, right. of course, yeah. there's something wrong with that woman.
If you take another human being's life, you have to have mental health problems.
But is there not a difference between, quote, snapping, and I hate that word, and doing something, where a jury might be able to believe that defense, and for weeks and weeks, Scott, planning to take this child. This was a planned.
Yes, it was.
For weeks, this was planned.
That is correct. Dana, I don't know. I think to take another human life, there has to be something wrong up here. I could not do it. Short of somebody breaking into my house, threatening the people that I care about, I don't know that I... You call me a loud gulper?
Sorry.
Jeez Louise, woman.
Sorry.
Man.
I'm better now. Go ahead.
Okay. Short of you breaking into my house or threatening people that I care about, I can't imagine taking another human life. And I certainly couldn't do it because I was unable to reproduce.
Well, she had four children. Let's not forget.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lisa Montgomery had four children
of
her own.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew you said she had children, but...
She had four. They were teenagers at the time.
Then what was the motive?
She had been lying about the pregnancy, and the clock was ticking to produce a baby.
Just say you had a miscarriage.
What that family wouldn't give for her to have just said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, telephone number here is 576-7798. We are 15 minutes away from losing every single listener we've ever had.
When we come back... Why a Twinkie has so far defied science in something with this legendary treat that cannot be explained.
Get to that in just a moment.
All six of you, sit tight.
576-7798. Dennis just say he can't figure out why traffic is so heavy this afternoon. You don't think everybody's running home to watch the game, do you? Four o'clock on a Monday afternoon? Seriously?
Okay. What if we come up with a code word?
A what?
A code word.
For what?
During... the game. Like.
Snap biscuit.
No.
Kelly Clarkson.
No.
You have to let me say something. Just tell me what I can say legally and what I cannot say.
Legally, nothing.
Oh, you mean for like if something happens in the game?
Yes.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, I'm not going to be talking about the game. We're going to have a code word that could be, I don't know, text us. Tell us on the text line what a good code word would be.
No.
You know.
No.
In case we're that just is sitting illegal. Here.
Do you not understand the rules of broadcasting? Tom Volek would be very upset with you right
well,
now.
Well, I'm not talking about sitting here and calling the game like they do down the hall, by the way, on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. I'm talking about just in a general sense.
No.
I ain't going to jail for you tonight. Sure as hell ain't paying $250,000.
Why couldn't we just say Kelly Clarkson? No one's going to know what that means.
So Kelly Clarkson equates to touchdown?
Sure. Okay.
Say it one time between 4 and 7 and you just broke the law.
I disagree. Where are our lawyers? There's nothing written in the FCC bylaws that says I can't randomly shout out Kelly Clarkson.
Sam, can you look up on YouTube the disclaimer that airs before every NFL game?
It says any rebroadcast without the specific permission.
Or description of any, and I don't know what word they use.
Oh, we should look it up because we've all heard that, right? After any KU game. Any rebroadcast or without the expressed written consent of the University of Kansas.
Let me know when you get it, my friend.
Tell people about the meme we saw this morning about Patrick Mahomes on the left and on the right.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I put it on my Facebook. And, you know, he was instrumental in getting Whataburger here in Kansas City. And I think they open up at the end of the year or early next. So it shows a picture of Patrick Mahomes as he is. And above it, it says, before Whataburger came to Kansas City. And then the picture to the right is a very fat Patrick Mahomes, and it just said after Whataburger came to Kansas City.
They did one of those like apps where you can make yourself look 200 pounds bigger than you are before Whataburger, after.
You got it?
This telecast is copyrighted by the NFL for the private use of our audience. Okay. Any other use of this telecast or of any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of the game without the NFL's consent is prohibited.
Descriptions or any account of the game.
I'm not describing it. I happen to like Kelly Clarkson in a robust manner.
Any account of the game is prohibited.
What does that mean?
Sam, will you play it again?
Just closed it.
It means if you say Kelly Clarkson
to describe what it means, a Chiefs if touchdown, I say, okay, he's getting ready to throw the football now, and then he just threw it, and then that guy just caught it, and now he's running to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, touchdown. That's what you can't do.
Okay.
I'd be horrible at it, by the way, because
I feel like that was borderline unacceptable even before the game.
It's so bad. So bad.
How would one call a touchdown if there was a touchdown? How would you call
it? Well, we'd have to have Mitch here to do that, and he's busy with pregame right now.
No, if Patrick Mahomes, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah, here's how I would do it, which is why we're not getting in trouble.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes receives the snap at the 30-yard line of the Chiefs.
Yes.
So he has 70 yards to go.
See, I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know which side it was.
So he has 70 yards to go.
Here's what I would say. The guy bent over with the football just tossed it between his legs. Our guy just caught it. He just threw it. Another guy just caught it. He's running. He's still running. He's still running. He's there. And now the kicker guy comes out and kicks it up in between that Y thing, and it's in the middle.
That Y thing?
Yeah.
Mm.
The copyright reads, this broadcast has been copyrighted by the NFL Productions for the private use of our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Any other use
any
of this telecast?
Any other use of this telecast?
Or any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of this game without consent of NFL Productions is prohibited.
In real time.
Correct.
What if it's 25 seconds after the Kelly Clarkson incident?
You know, roll the dice.
Please don't. I like going to work.
Roll them and let's see what happens, Dana.
These are no fun.
I'm trying to keep a job. Now, here's what we can broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Bradshaw has picked the Chiefs to win.
Oh, good. Okay.
Michael Strahan has picked the Chiefs to win.
Of course he has.
Tony Gonzalez is next on the
clock. Oh, don't you do it, Tony G.
Strahan, shut up. Let Tony pick. Tony Gonzalez. Oh, man, he's handsome.
I know. He looks so good.
God, he's a good-looking cat. Tony has picked the Chiefs to win.
Kelly Clarkson.
See, we need to start practicing this now.
No.
Fine.
And Jay, who is the host, I don't even know his last name, is picking. God, Tony, you, I hate you.
If you were a betting person, what do the betting people say about it? I think the betting people say we're supposed to win by like 6 or 12 or something. I don't know.
Dana, I've never gambled in my life.
I don't need another reason to gamble, but I'm always curious what the odds makers say.
Oh, all 4 of them pick Kansas City.
From the text line, hey, Dana and Scott, I love your show, but what station is the Chiefs game on?
The one that is higher in number than this one down the hall.
99.7 The Point?
No. Higher.
So you can hear the Chiefs on 99.7 The Point.
Higher, higher. It is 106.5 The Wolf. We love them.
News is.
I also love Kelly Clarkson.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.